Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
So today we are wrapping up the series Faithful Families, which began with VBC Sunday. Thought it was a good jumping off place to talk about what it means to be not only healthy families, but faithful. How can we be faithful as Christians, as families? And we looked at some of the common things that we all struggle with. We talked about we're so busy and our overscheduling and everything's flying at us all the time. And we get there's just too much going on. And we forget that thing that God said a long time ago, that on the seventh day you should rest. It's called Sabbath. And the thing that we also think of in our culture is that, you know, the day starts with sunrise. But in the Hebrew culture, the day started with sunset. Your day started with rest. And we've just lost sight of that, and we have to have that kind of rest to make sure that we not only control our schedules, but that we also have that space and that time to be still and know God. We talked about how they don't want to look up from their phones, and how we just get addicted to our electronics. There's voices screaming for your attention all the time, whether it be the news or retail or social media, something always to get your attention. And so it's so easy to get addicted to those things. And we miss the thing of being fully present with another person, because we're always distracted. And so how can we be fully present with others, following the example that God himself gave us, because he sent his son Jesus? The Old Testament says the Messiah would be Emmanuel, God with us. John 1 says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that God showed up. God is present with us. So sometimes we've got to set our electronics aside to be present, fully present with the people around us. And so today, there's the pressure to succeed. This is a very real pressure that families feel. Now, this certainly changes through your life. I mean, it's different if you're 30 or 50 or 70. I mean, it's different, and you define success differently in life as you go along. But I hope that you've also heard throughout this series that while we have referred to families that have children still at home, all these things kind of apply to all of us. We all get too busy. We all get distracted by our electronics. We all have this sense of pressure to succeed and trying to measure up somehow. We all wrestle with those things. It's not just families who have kids still at home. So we're going to learn today from Paul, incredibly significant figure of the New Testament, who you might remember was a Jew, very devout Jew. As a matter of fact, he was so devout. Anything outside of that, he was adamantly opposed to it. So when he began to hear of this thing called the way, people who followed Jesus, who claimed to be the Messiah, well, to him, he thought, no, that's not going to happen on my watch. So he began to persecute the church, and in every way that he could, try to stop the progress of the church, until he had a dramatic conversion and had the blinding light. God spoke to him, and he came to understand that Jesus is the Messiah. And when that happened, then he turned his efforts in a complete 180 and began to build the church, and was the most significant missionary in the first century of the church, and wrote a good part of the New Testament. So think about that. I mean, okay, pressure to succeed. He's the single most important missionary of the church in the first century. I mean, there's some pressure to that. There's a lot you need to accomplish. Well, he felt that struggle. He felt that struggle, and in 2 Corinthians 11, he goes through this long list of things that he's faced because of that, trying to succeed, that pressure, that trying to accomplish. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just give you some examples. I've been in prison. I've been beaten more times than I can count. I have faced death. I was beaten with rods 3 times. I was stoned once. Not that kind of stoned. You know, where they throw rocks at you. Okay, very different. I was shipwrecked 3 times. I've been on many journeys. I've faced dangers from rivers, robbers, my people. I faced dangers in the city, in the desert, on the sea, and from false brothers and sisters. Just on and on about these things he has faced in this struggle that he's had. And yet, that didn't define him. Those difficulties that he faced in trying to accomplish what he was trying to accomplish did not define him. We find a little bit more of that in Philippians. And I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. And here you begin to get a sense of how he has, how he's coming to himself, so to speak, in the way that he is living life and doing ministry for God. So for those who have ears to hear, listen for the word of the Lord. He says, "The righteousness that I have, the success, the accomplishments, come from knowing Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the participation in his sufferings. It includes being conformed to his death, so that I may perhaps reach the goal of the resurrection of the dead. It's not that I have already received this goal or have already been perfected, but I pursue it, so that I may grab hold of it because Christ grabbed hold of me for just this purpose. Brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it, but I do this one thing. I forget about the things behind me and reach out for the things ahead of me. The goal I pursue is the prize of God's upward call in Christ Jesus." So to be clear, when we talk about pressure to succeed, there's nothing wrong with success. There's nothing wrong with doing well. I'm not going to say you shouldn't do well. Well, you should try to excel in whatever it is you do, whatever part of life it is, in your relationships, in your work, in your hobbies, in your whatever. We should try to excel. Sure, success is not bad. That's not a bad thing. And yet, we get faced with that sense of pressure. That becomes the problem, right? It's the sense of pressure to succeed. But God has made all of us with gifts to be able to do things, some things really well. Sometimes the part of that difficulty is in understanding there's some things I'm not going to do real well. Sometimes we have trouble accepting that. And we think we should succeed highly at every level, all the time, everywhere. So I do want to address something that that is at play in this message, as well as the two before, how busy we are, addicted to electronics, and pressure to succeed. And it's something that's kind of been there, but I just haven't talked about it directly. And so I want to talk just a little bit about time. Time. You know, we've really lost a lot of our natural ways of marking time, the rhythms of the day, the rhythms of the season. I mean, when you think of historically, it wasn't that long ago that when the sun went down, well, you went to bed because it's dark. There's nothing else to do. And when the sun came up, you got up because now there's light. Now we can go do stuff. There was some food just not available in winter. And you had to prepare to make sure that you knew that in winter we have something to eat. Those were natural markers of the rhythms of life. And those are pretty much not there anymore, right? I mean, even in the grocery store, you can get fresh fruits and vegetables year-round. You can get them any time. Some of us might be old enough to remember the day that at midnight, the TV networks signed off. At 9 o'clock, I think I heard a gasp from someone young in the room to imagine that at midnight, Star Spangled Banner, beep, sign off. It's over, right? Well, it's certainly not true now. I mean, there's 24/7 stuff happening. There was an article I read that said the rate of acceleration from the time of the Industrial Revolution, as time has moved forward and we've progressed, I'm not sure how we want to define progress here, but as we've progressed, our rate of acceleration is accelerating. It's not just this smooth kind of line up and to the right. No, I mean, it's starting to really go fast, and things fly at us so fast all the time, and we don't know how to deal with that. So products used to be, you know, advertised as things that were time savers. Interestingly, most products I hear now, it's a product to help you get more done. Because if you're going to be successful, you got to get more done. If you're saving time, well, that might mean you're going to relax and have some leisure. We don't want that. No, we want to get more done. I think all of us feel that pressure at times. Well, we've bought into a concept that doesn't exist. We have for a long, long time. I've read things about it, and it's the notion of time management. There's no such thing as time management. Time is time. We can't control that. We can't go, you know, that's I want to slow things down right now, or I want to speed this up so he'll quit preaching and we can go get our car. We can't control time. We can't manage time. All we can do is manage ourselves. We all have the same, I mean, we've heard this. We all have the same amount of time every day. That doesn't change. We have the same amount anybody else has. We can't change that. We can't manage that. All we can do is manage ourselves and how we use that time and what is it that we do and how do we, what are the things we give our attention? What are the things we care about? Well, there's a lot of urgency that gets expressed in a lot of ways, things that are demanding attention. There's a book, the updated version was written about 10 years ago, and this a guy who's a doctor but does studies of futuring and culture. And one of the things that they had done some studies on how we have no margin in our lives, and the name of the book is Margin. We have no margin. And he talked about how even at work, we're interrupted constantly. In a study they had done, they discovered that the typical American manager was interrupted 200 times a day. Now you might think, how in the world can that happen? Well, you got to think, I mean, the idea is, you know, when you're working and you're in the flow of something, anything that gets your, that diverts your attention is an interruption. So if you're trying to get this work done and the phone rings and the email dings and someone knocks on the door and a siren goes by and there's 200 times a day. I mean, how do we deal with all of that and try to continue to excel and do well? Well, there's a website I go to every now and then just to read the stories. You might have heard of it, Humans of New York. They just provide these little snippets of people's lives, these stories that I just find it interesting. I love to hear people's stories because we all have a story. So I love to hear those stories, and there was one that I read, and it was actually on Father's Day that I thought was really great. So this is a picture of the guy and his son. He said, a couple weeks ago, we were coming home from visiting my brother in Long Island, and we stopped at a burger place off the highway. He, the son, had a junior Whopper. I had a Whopper. We split the fries, and while we were eating, he, the son, said, you know what, Daddy? You're a really great daddy. I love you, Daddy. And that got me. I almost choked on my burger because it wasn't bedtime. He wasn't leaving for school. He wasn't asking for anything. He was just off the cuff. Wow, what a remarkable thing. You're sitting there eating a burger and this spontaneous, genuine expression of gratitude and love. I'd like to think of that picture as an example of success. I think that's more of a success than anything else the world can offer. So how do we get to that and divert our attention from the cultural notion of success? So we have to deal with something deeper. We have to deal with something deeper here. All of us have a need to feel important. We all do. We all have a need to feel. I don't mean grandiose. I just mean that we're important to other people, that we matter, that somehow my life counts in this world. I mean, we all have that need to feel some sense of significance to other people, to any organizations we're a part of, to our families, to our friends, our neighbors, that there's some sense of significance. But then we have the sense of pressure to succeed. Well, where does that come from? What is that? What drives that? Well, again, we look at Paul. We look at Paul, because in the very next chapter in Philippians, he talked about how the qualities and characteristics of his life did not show this damage from pursuing success. He says, I know the experience of being in need and of having more than enough. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every circumstance, whether full or hungry, of having plenty or being poor. I can endure all things through the power of the one who gives me strength. Learn to be content. If I have a lot, if I have nothing. If I'm full, if I'm hungry. To be content. Now that's something different. That's more like that young man and his son sitting at that burger place. How to be content. So we have to understand that success is a byproduct. It's not a status. It's not something you achieve. It's not, if there's a, we can sometimes imagine, boy, once I cross that line, then it's a success. I'm a success. But by the time you finish patting yourself on the back, the line has moved. It's going somewhere else. I like to think of it as, when I was a kid, I remember when we were learning about magnets, we were given these rectangular magnets. And so, you know, you put them together and boy, snap together, they hold together. But you take one of them and you turn it around and move it toward the other magnet, and you know what happens. The other magnet starts moving away because it's not the right polarity. So it starts moving away, and I think success is that way. The more we go after it, the more it's elusive. It's a myth. It doesn't exist. And yet the pressure we feel is real. There's intense pressure to succeed. Business is certainly competitive. My goodness, stores that you might have thought would never, ever go out of business. Well, yeah, they are, or they're completely retooling. Every form of business is incredibly competitive these days, and the margin is so thin. Certainly, there's a lot of competition and a lot of pressure to succeed in the schools. That's gotten very difficult because the pressure to succeed becomes more about my ranking. You know, when students are going through high school and they're looking at where am I going to, you know, what's the number I'm going to be at? I mean, how do you put that on a resume? I graduated 117th in my high school class. And yet, there's the rankings. What do you do with that? And so we're trying to always get higher. Doesn't mean you've mastered the subject, but you get high on the list. There was an article in Dallas Morning News, several weeks ago, that Frisco ISD is changing the way they are ranking their students. No longer 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but they're going to rank the top 10. And after that, it's going to be in percentages, the top 25%, and then 25 to 50, 50 to 75. It's just because this pressure to take that next step, I can move higher, I can. Now, I'm not saying don't excel. We should excel. We should do well. But again, pressure to move up the list, to move up the list. But it's not just in grades, although I had a student at McMurray University in Abilene. She had done a directed study through the summer. And at the end of the summer, she had done good work. And in my judgment, which is what grading is, in my judgment, she had achieved an A-. As soon as she got that news, she called me. And she said, I've got to come talk to you. Okay, well, now, she'd had the study with me, but also I was the chaplain at the university. So I thought, well, something must have happened. I don't know. So, okay, sure, come on by. And she came in and she said, I've got to have an A. And I said, you got a good grade. An A- is a good grade for the work that you did. It's a really good grade. No, it's got to be an A. I've been here 3 years. I've got 1 year to graduation. I have straight A's. I have a 4 point till right now. I have to have a 4 point. An A- is a really good grade. She said, no. I'm applying to grad school next year. Just this constant sense of I have to have a 4 point. Now, I understand you got to have good GPAs to get recognized. I know that. I've been there. I understand. But man, that sense of fear that if I graduate with a 3.975, that's somehow going to ruin me. I'm not going to be able to achieve what I want. I'm not. And so much of that is because we view our value and our worth based on what we achieve instead of viewing our value and worth as a gift, the gift that God has given us. So in my line of work, a lot of what we talk about, especially as people are going through the process, the credentialing process, a lot of what we talk about is vocation. Not vacation. that's to vacate. Vocation is what is your sense of calling? What is your sense of calling in life? And there are some occupations where you can exercise your sense of calling and that be your occupation. So I think there are people who are nurses, who are school teachers, who are engineers, who are whatever, that they are able to exercise their sense of calling through their occupation. There are others where it doesn't work that way. You may have learned the skills, gotten the training, and you have a certain job, but you know, that's not really my calling. I was serving in a church in the Permian Basin, and we were trying to get some people, new people, on our finance committee. And so the nominations team thought of this guy and said, well, Jeff, you're friends with him. He's a CPA at that oil company. Go talk to him. Sure, I'll go ask him. Seems like a slam dunk, right? So I went and talked to him, just immediately his expression was, oh, I don't want to do that. Caught me off guard. I was surprised. And I said, well, say more. He said, I do that every day. I do that all the time. He said, I'd like to be asked to do something I'd really love to do. Okay, doors open. What would you love to do at the church? He said, I would volunteer for children's ministry. Really? I didn't see it coming. But then as I thought about it, I thought, well, yeah, he and his wife, they've got kids. They're great kids, great parents. He seems to always enjoy his kids, doing fun things with his kids. Well, yeah, why wouldn't he want to do children's ministry? He had a job. He was good at his job. He did his job. But his sense of calling was to invest in the lives of children. I know another guy in Albuquerque. He did very well for himself. I was fortunate to get started in a privileged, fluent family. But he did very well for himself. Worked on Wall Street for a number of years. At some point along the way, he was able to say, you know, I'm done with work. And he doesn't have to work another day in his life. And he goes to an elementary school every day in Albuquerque that would be kind of the equivalent to our Malvern Elementary. And he volunteers at the school. He does substitute teaching. He helps the administration. He makes donations. He did a Milers Club for a while. I don't know if he's still doing it or not, but on Wednesday mornings at 7, he'd be on the playground. And he had it marked off. And he had run a mile with the kids. He could have been traveling the world. But he was exercising his calling. That sense of, this is what I'm intended to do. Now, I think that when we do that, you don't feel a pressure to succeed. You feel a sense of fulfillment, of gratitude, of authenticity. So that we could then understand more clearly the words of Paul, again, just a little bit later, when he wrote, from now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things, whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us, and the God of peace will be with you. He's not striving after accomplishments. It's focusing on things that are true, that are holy, that are admirable, that are pure, that are lovely. And we become the person God intends us to be. Let's pray. God, we're grateful for the gift that you have given us of life, the gift you've given each of us of identity, the gift of calling. We thank you for the ways that you have created each and every one of us. And I pray, God, that as we consider the words of Paul, who went through his own sense of identity and calling, that we too may identify with that. And that we too may understand what it means to not pursue success, but to pursue those things that you call us to be. God, we pray that we will have insight into that in our life and that we will more and more discover that every day so that we are more faithful to you and that we serve other people well. We pray all this in the name of your Son. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either in our celebration service which offers a blended worship style, or in the Bridge, which offers contemporary music in a relaxed, rejuvenating environment. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.